Welcome. Thank you. This is Andrew Phipps with Phipps Faith Family Freedom. And my, we have an exciting program for you today. Thank you that you would take time out of your schedule and allow us to be a part of your day. I think the program that will be ensuing is one that will be tremendously beneficial as it relates to faith, family, freedom. I don't know of three greater words, and our thesis, our goal, will be to try to have an inspiring program for you today to enjoy. We have different segues that will enlighten, and I think that will just help us all. I think it will help to alleviate many of the negatives that we encounter in our day-to-day activities. You know, there's a lot of divisiveness, there's a lot of dysfunctional situations. People are feeling that we are in a state of depravity. Much depression, unfortunately, permeates our society. And so whatever we can do today to bring some lucidity to this program, I think will be a tremendous. I'm excited that you can join us, and I hope wherever you are able to catch this podcast, I hope it will be a blessing to you. We're going to right now get into our lineup for today's program, and then we'll be back in just a few moments. Thank you so much for being a part of today's programming. Faith, family, and freedom. My, what wonderful words. I think they encompass basically what all of us should be cognizant about. Faith, our family, and our freedoms. And each one carries such a tremendous connotation. And our goal is to try to speak truth to error as best we can. I think there's so much disinformation, and much of it is planned to be that way. I think many of our news organizations, with the agenda that they have and the leadership and the oversight of those media, they have an agenda, and they have a philosophy, a creed that they want to somehow promulgate and push forward. And so today we have to be very careful. That's why I think our faith, our Bible that specifies right and wrong, tells us what we can and can't do, and tells us about how that we can know the Lord and a free pardon of sin, and how that we can be better people, better citizens, better husbands and wives and brothers, better sons and daughters. Well, this is what this program's about. You're going to enjoy it today, I am sure. Let's get into it.
The Chuck Wagon Gang is a 75-year-old institution in the field of gospel music. This group was founded by Dad Carter in 1936. Now, three generations later, the Chuck Wagon Gang has become the oldest grassroots mixed quartet that is still singing and recording gospel music. Many of these great old convention songs the group recorded at their start in 1936 were sung at tent revivals all across America, and they are still great today.
There's a mansion now awaiting beyond high.
Separation from the world of
separation. I am walking
on God's highway.
When he calls me, I'll be glad to go.
Again, thank you for taking time out of busy schedules. I realize that any program is requiring you, that is, to allocate some of your precious time to be a part of that programming. And I can't overestimate or overthank you for that you would give us some consideration. Our desire is to try to have discernment of what to present so that you will not only be able to enjoy, but hopefully maybe there'll be something in there that'll help educate, help to advocate, and help us to realize some of the great things that we need to know and to be vigilant, to, as the Bible says, be sober. And because our adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we need all of the planning and preparation that we can get. We have a segue here of two or three different things. They're not necessarily related, but I like the song that we're going to hear in just a moment. It's a song that we sing in our church. Many of you, I'm sure, sing it. The song says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. What a great song. What great lyrics. Let's enjoy it together.
I don't fall. Government has only two ways of getting money other than raising taxes. It can go into the money market and borrow, competing with its own citizens and driving up interest rates, which it has done, or it can print money, and it's done that. Both methods are inflationary. We're victims of language. The very word inflation leads us to think of it as just high prices. And then, of course, we resent the person who puts on the price tags, forgetting that he or she is also a victim of inflation. Inflation is not just high prices. It's a reduction in the value of our money. When the money supply is increased, but the goods and services available for buying are not, we have too much money chasing too few goods.
The World War II Memorial is right here in the nation's capital. It was dedicated Memorial Day weekend 2004. It is a wonderful tribute to the men and women who fought in World War II to free us from tyranny and to those who paid the supreme sacrifice as well. Certainly hope that you have enjoyed not only the song selections, but the admonition there by President Ronald Reagan as he describes or gives his impression of inflation. And as we say, faith, family, freedom encompasses the social, the economic, the political decision-making. And I was thinking as the President Reagan was speaking there about inflation, where he said that we've got have too much money chasing too few goods, and the result is higher prices. You know, when we allow the free markets to basically do their thing without much interference from the bureaucracies and over legislation, then I think that we have found in the past that all of us as citizens benefit so much more. You know, when government gets into the scheme and starts regulating prices and starts mandating certain figures and saying that we have to arbitrarily raise the wages, like even for our entry-level positions, like in our fast food industry, then no doubt we'll see prices that accompany that decision. For example, a Big Mac might get to where it costs $10, $8, $9, $10. Who knows where it might go? You know, there are certain things that seem like that many of our educators today, I don't know why they do it, but they put out the nonsense of DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and you know, if that philosophy works anywhere, it has to work everywhere. And I don't know that I recall seeing very many Asian people in the National Football League or in the National Basketball Association. And so if that principle were to be applied irrespectively, then I think we would see more Black people playing hockey and all like that. Obviously, there are certain things that people have the seemingly that they have the credentials, whether it's their biological situation. And we just know that certain things don't seem to work. That's like putting men into ladies' sports. What an oxymoron. You know, for example, if we're going to have men in women's sports, why not just leave the title out and just say sports? why does it have to be women's sports if we're going to have men posing as women getting into that? It's ridiculous. And I think when we go against the order of things that God has created, when we go against the schematic, the DNA that God put in each one of us, I think we are messing with situations that are far above our pedigrees. God created each one of us, and he gave each one of us skills and certain things and certain abilities. But nowhere can we find out that if you're going to have a race, even when the Apostle Paul ran in the marathons there in his day, no one mentioned that everybody had to finish at the race, at the line at the same time. That's equity, when everybody comes out with the same thing. In other words, according to that philosophy, everybody would get the same amount of ice cream or have the same number of cars and so on. Well, it's a situation that goes against the makeup of us as human beings. It's in our nature, I think, to have a competitive spirit, and I think that's good. I think that we're supposed to work. The apostle said if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now, I realize there are qualifiers, people that are not mentally or physically, because of their age or because of their development, that they are able to compete in the economy. And so people, as they get older, surely we have an obligation, but that obligation ought to start with families first. And today I think we're going to have, I know we've got a good segue coming up here in just a moment with a good friend of mine, Mr. Jack Bimber, who teaches English here in our area. He's also a wonderful Sunday school teacher. But let's go back to our program as we have it developed for you.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
I'm here with a dear friend that has been a friend of mine for so many years, Jack Bimber, the son of a preacher, but also an English teacher in a public school, and also one of the best Sunday school teachers that we have at our church, Liberty Baptist Church here in Muncie, Indiana. And Jack, you have a great understanding of the needs in education. We're talking particularly about public education. And I know this is just kind of off without a whole lot of preparation on your part, but what do you see as we think about public education today as what it might have been 20, 30, 50 years ago?
Well, Andrew, thanks for those kind words. The biggest differences I see, and I started in 1988,
right?
So it's quite a while ago. I've got about 35 years in, and things were still, I guess what you would say, still changing. And they still are changing now, but not as rapidly, because education has kind of gotten where it was intended to go from about the mid-60s until now. You take a look at the founding fathers and those who thought about public education. What they wanted was people who could take a look at issues, understand the founding documents, and then make decisions based on the information in those documents and who we actually are as a country. What we see now, and I don't mean to cut you off, but what we see now is an activist education department which tends to run to the left, and in some cases, even communistic, in the things that it espouses and what it pushes in the agenda. So instead now of worrying about literacy, because if you look at your bigger cities where most of the people are being educated, literacy is at very low levels, historically low. Mathematics skills are at historically low levels. And charter schools are on the rise because people can see the initial prospects for education are not being met.
Have we left Noah Webster?
Oh, we left Noah Webster a long, long time ago. And now we are not driven by education. We are driven by politicians who want to advance a leftist ideology. And in my opinion, and what I've seen, our education serves nothing more, public education that is, than to enslave people to a way of thinking so that they're dependent on government.
Yeah, diversity, inclusion, and equity. And somebody was telling me, they said equity, if it's applied in one level, has to be applied in all levels. And they said, we don't see very many like small Asian basketball players in the NBA. And the point was well taken with me.
Well, that's true. And to further, capitalize on that point, is the idea that whenever we talk about equity in education, we're not talking about great outcomes for everyone. What educators talk about and what your social left talks about is bringing the top down to meet some kind of mythical middle part where everybody is relatively the same. What it would look like would be if you had $100 and I had none because you worked and I hadn't. The left comes along and says, well, Andrew, you have 50 extra dollars. Let's give that to Jack so you'll both have 50. But the issue is Andrew is the producer and I've produced nothing.
So mediocrity becomes the result.
Mediocrity, and worse than mediocrity, because what happens is those who aren't producing in the classroom or anywhere else, they learn that they have to do nothing in order to get by. And so it's worse than mediocrity. It produces great frustration with the people who should be at the top.
What about the pay system? Does that have anything to do with outcomes?
I don't think the pay system has one thing to do with outcomes. I don't think it has anything to do with it. Most teachers make as much or more than the average person in their community makes. But teachers are human, and if you say, hey, we'll give you more money for doing this job, of course we'll take it. We're like anybody else. But that's not the reason. 75 to 100 years ago, there were teachers who were committed. You graduated high school what year?
1960.
Did you have any good teachers?
I did. Wonderful.
How were they paid? Very well or not very well?
Well, according to the day, just fair, I'm sure, yeah. Fairly.
Yeah. And we're getting paid better.
Yeah.
And we're not getting any better results. But that's because the results that the education department is after has really nothing to do with what you learned and what most people learned as they were growing up.
Well, the American Federation of Teachers, you know, they think that everything can be solved with more money in another department, like the Department of Education, more bureaus. I heard a fellow say the other day, Jack, and it was a little humorous. He said he didn't think that there was any life on faraway planets, because had there been, we would have already sent them some government programs.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true.
So are we discouraging the people that are coming in at the entry level from considering education?
I think we're beyond that. I think we are getting exactly who we've planned to get in education. And look, you'll always have your true believers and people who come in and do really good jobs, people who come from good families, people who come from some conservative backgrounds or who believe in the original mission of education to help others truly learn. But it seems to be the same in education as it is everywhere else. There is a shortage of people who really understand what education is about.
The universities help with the teaching preparation, do you think, and getting teachers acclimated for the profession, getting preparatory instructions, teaching, schools like Ball State University was always considered a great teacher institution. But what I'm thinking about, Jack, is this. I think, too, there seems to be a thrust, and I think it's positive, maybe to emphasize the trades and the vocational. Does everybody need to read Silas Marner?
Well, I doubt that they need to read Silas Marner. I think what is happening with the vocational and the thrust towards the trades is good, except for this. A lot of times we have students who don't believe they can do anything academically, but it's probably because a lot of them have never really been pushed academically because of the mediocrity. You know, there are some students who really have never had the opportunity to read a novel,
right?
Because the situation in the classrooms have been such that they're in places where students aren't required to read very much.
What about this concept? And we'll follow it up on another podcast or wherever. What about the idea that the students need to have also to be productive and to be contributing citizens that have a moral inclination or orientation? It seems like that we're neglecting that and we're pushing today a value system that's contrary to Americanism or Christian heritage or patriotism, good citizenry, people being responsible for himself or herself. Are we getting away from that?
We are getting away from that. And the most important thing you just said in your question was about espousing almost anti-patriotic messages, anti-moral messages. We could discuss with everyone the value of teaching morals, and that's fine. The issue is that when schools go into this business of pushing anti-Americanism, pushing leftist agendas, celebrating gay pride, things like that, you can tell that they've stepped away completely from pushing what the majority wants, and they are pushing an agenda that your higher levels of education want and that your Department of Education wants.
Well, John Dewey said, man doesn't have a soul. There is no God, and he became kind of the patriarch of what we would call progressivism in educational circles.
Well, and his vision that he had has come to fruition, you know, except for the fact we do have a soul, and our students are really wanting moral education. They ask questions. They want leadership. They want clarity. The problem is there aren't very, very many people available to give it to them.
Jack, you have added so much to the dialogue, to the narrative today. I want to, in the future somehow, if we can continue in the discussions, because you bring lucidity, you bring a freshness, you bring something to the narrative that I need, and I believe other people need, and I want to thank you for it.
Thank you, Andrew.
And friends, I certainly hope that you were able to get something from the interview there with my good friend, Jack Bimber, an English teacher in our area. You know, the 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt, made a great comment. He had several, but one that I remember, he said, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. I know when I was in high school, we would have maxims written on the chalkboard by Mr. Malcolm Julian, my English teacher, and it was inculcated within our learning the idea that we were to be good citizens, that we were to respect other people, that we were not to steal and lie, and that we were not to take things that did not belong to us, that we were to be mannerly, that we were to have the proper decorum, you might say, and that we were respectful of teachers. We addressed them as Mr. and Miss, and we never entered into our minds to be obscene or use words today that I have heard oftentimes are commonplace within many of our classrooms. And also, we face the paddle. When I was growing up, the old wooden paddle that got your attention. So once we did away with any discipline, then we basically, we basically have the students running the classroom. And somebody said you need a whip and a chair to enter the classrooms. And I've often wondered what it might be, particularly in many of our inner cities where seemingly there's hardly any record of academic progress. Well, this is what Faith, Family, and Freedom is all about, helping you, and it helps us. And so we'll be back after these announcements.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And friends, whenever you want to get in touch with us, you can go to the website, phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org, and hopefully you will be able to find the needed information that you might be seeking. Again, it would be wonderful if you would have the desire to order the book, It's Always a Struggle, But. And what I have tried to do in this book, I think it's beautifully done, and the fact that the way it's put together, hardback cover, 291 pages, a lot of color pages and pictures and so forth. And we try to deal with some of the situations that I encountered, and perhaps those encounters might be germane to you. Perhaps they'd be relevant to some things that you've experienced. And certainly not saying that what I did or went through would be greater than yours. That's not our intent at all. But we're just trying to let you know that I think that American exceptionalism needs to be emphasized. This is the one country that people, as you know, try to get into. And unfortunately, we have a president that's basically opened up all of our borders. And we have, it reduces our sovereignty as a nation tremendously. This should never be allowed. We all recognize that we're a nation of immigrants, but we also observe the idea that we came in under the right means. The Statue of Liberty from 1900 to 1910, we had a lot of immigrants that came through Ellis Island, but they didn't come through wanting to tear the walls down. They didn't come in trying to display the flags from other country. They didn't come in shouting obscenities at our nation and our flag and trying to redo our culture. For example, if they don't like what American culture and opportunities are, why don't they stay where they are? But you know, the cartels profit from all of this, and it's a flow of drugs and illicit drugs that have been taking lives of our citizens. And it's a shame. It's a shame that our president has seemingly put it under the bus, kicked it under the bus, and now may be trying to do a little something as the election draws near. But I think you and I are smart enough to know what has been the pattern for the last 3 years plus. Well, I have other things that we want to show today in the podcast. Isn't this wonderful? And we have it ready to share some of it with you now. Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me, and I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits, but these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps. Well, it's a joy to be with you today, and I hope that you'll tell others about it. I hope that we can increase our outreach in our areas, like the prayer of Jabez when he asked the Lord to enlarge his coast. And the Bible said in that particular verse, and God granted him that which he requested. So as Christian patriots, we want to do everything that we can do. You know, Mark Twain said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Let's stand today as never before. Bob Patnaud is a pastor down in around Salem, Indiana, and he's a real patriot. He served as a missionary to China for, I think, 21 years. I believe that you will appreciate the interview that I was able to do with Pastor Patnaud, and I want to share it with you now. Brother Patnaud, we were talking about the culture of China. What do you remember, or what are some things that might be different there in the way of food choices, habits, work habits, the traffic? What are some things that...
Well, I'll start with the work habits.
Okay.
They're very industrious. There's a strong work ethic in China, and they're willing to work for little, and then, of course, sometimes they're forced to work for little.
Yeah.
Traffic, up until recently... Not many of them had their own private automobiles, but that's changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemingly planned their cities for it, too, because the streets and the
boulevards,
fewer and fewer now, going to motor scooters, going to motorcycles, going to cars.
What about the way people dress there? Are they westernized?
You know, westernized.
We've gone very casual. Is that also true there?
They're casual, but they... I'm going to say that they still consider dignity of dress very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Food. What about, do you like the food?
Yeah, I love the food.
What would they serve possibly there at a meal? If you were just going to friends to have a meal, what might you eat there?
Friends would make a soup dumpling. There would always be some rice somewhere. And the Chinese eat a lot of bread and noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are very common in the North.
Pastries?
A lot of pastries. A lot of cakes and pastries nowadays in China.
Weather?
About the same as the latitudes in the United States.
Hot days and cold days?
Hot days and cold days. Snow in the North. Sweltering hot in the South.
So how did you travel to get around a lot?
From city to city, mostly by railroad.
Mm.
I didn't own a car in China. I did have a bicycle. Probably if I was there now, I'd get a motor scooter or a motorcycle. But bicycles, buses, taxis, transportation, relatively cheap.
Did you come back on furlough any?
Yes, several times.
How often would you come back to the States?
As few times as necessary, but... Usually every 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your family, how many were there of your family, usually your children, et cetera? What kind, would all of your children be with you at that time there?
When we first went, we had four children with us. And that was a marvel to the Chinese at the time because they were permitted to have only one child.
Isn't that something? Abortion rare or?
No, common.
Very common.
Yeah, and forced.
Forced abortion. Mm-hmm. Drinking and drugs, alcohol.
A lot of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Everywhere there's alcohol. I never saw much drug use, but a lot of alcoholism.
Uh-huh. Where you live, your accommodations, how would you describe those?
Dormitory style. Not as a college dormitory, but more as the staff of a college would live.
So you weren't harassed or intimidated much or anything like that?
There were a few incidents where we were, and we know, as I said earlier, we knew we were under surveillance. And at one time they came to our home wanting to know the names of people who came to our home on a regular basis. And we were followed from time to time.
Would you go back?
Yes.
You have a proclivity or some kind of feeling for them, don't you?
I do.
And you take the gospel.
I take the gospel.
And the gospel, as you define it, is
the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, his burial and resurrection for our justification. And it is necessary, the blood is necessary, but it is also sufficient to save them.
Washington County Baptist Tabernacle.
Yes, sir.
Salem, Indiana. Thank you, Brother Patton.
Thank you, Brother.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And friends, those are the kinds of people that we like to have. And I'm looking forward to maybe having a Mike Lindell on our podcast perhaps in the near future. And we have so many good friends here with this BBS podcast that are really encouraging us and trying to help us and to reach more people. And so we're looking forward to events. Maybe, hopefully, we will be going to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee in just a few weeks. And then also, our good friend Steve Nortier told us about an event coming up in the month of October in North Carolina with General Flynn. That is exciting, to say the least. And right now, I think we're going to go back to a special announcement that maybe features General Gold, Genesis Gold, excuse me, and I was thinking of General Flynn, but with our good suppliers here, Mr. Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
And this has been wonderful, and I do appreciate our good friend and our media person, Mr. Charles Haas, a good Christian brother, for all of his assistance, and we certainly want to thank him. And I appreciate you that you would join us today. And you can help us immensely. We're going to have programs where that you call in and we can make you a part of the podcast and do the live ones. These beginning programs, as it were, we thought we would just go ahead and format them, but we want to have your input. It's so important, so vital, what you have to say. Somebody said that when the people fear the government, it is tyranny, but when the government fears the people, it is democracy. I hope that you have a wonderful day, a good time, and I hope that you'll tell others about our Faith Family Freedom efforts, and we're going to work on it tirelessly to make it better. That is our goal, to have something better, better quality, something very informative, something that'll help us all. And I'll be looking forward. Remember, we have a website, FIPSFaithFamilyFreedom.org. And you can go to that for our book or whatever other materials that you need. Have a great day. This is Andrew Phipps saying God bless, and we'll see you soon.